There are 8 applicants so far for the Haynes Interim Borough Manager position, and the Sheldon Museum gets $350,000 worth of new shelving. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The Haynes Borough received 7 applications for the position of Interim Borough Manager by the December 4th deadline. 1 came in after the deadline. Acting Manager Julie Causey sent a note to the mayor and assembly keeping them apprised of the candidates. Just 1 of the contenders is local. It's Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan. A 2nd Alaskan, Gary Dunn from Soldotna, also threw his hat in the ring. The rest of the applicants are from other states, including Florida, Arkansas, California, New Mexico, and Colorado. 1 woman applied. The borough is continuing to accept applications in case none of the 7 who applied on time work out. The Assembly Personnel Committee is meeting at noon on Friday to take a closer look at the candidates and might wind up with a short list for the whole Assembly to consider. Haynes Public Safety Commission Chair Jim Stanford did a little digging last month. He was looking for answers as to why exactly the Klehini Valley Fire Department was downgraded to the lowest possible rating by a national insurance services company. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
In a nutshell, what this, I think, boils down to is just a lack of paperwork.
After weeks of phone calls and tracking down the paper trail, Stanford found that requests for more information from mitigation specialists at the insurance services offices went unanswered by Klehini Fire Department board or staff. That was back in 2012. The fire department was downgraded to a 10, the lowest possible rating, from an 8.
After a couple years went by, they just downgraded it to a 10 because they couldn't do anything else. They didn't have any proof coming from Klehini Valley.
Stanford assured that board members Robert Venables and Sean McLaughlin are working to resolve the issues that caused the demotion in the first place. According to Venables, the main factors in the downgrade were that the department's capacity to carry water and the flow per minute rate were not up to snuff. And while the concern first arose nearly 4 years ago and the actual downgrade happened in 2013, residents were only made aware this summer when insurance rates soared. Insurance companies, large and small, use the ISO's assessments when determining rates on personal and commercial properties. A meeting between members of the fire department's board and the Public Safety Commission was slated for last month, but Stanford says was canceled by those representing the fire department. Stanford adds, however, that he's confident the board will follow through with the needed maintenance to boost the department's rating.
I don't think this is a case of negligence. I just think that this is a group of volunteers, and there's, I think, only about 7 or 8 of them.
As for the department, they hope to have the issues resolved and the department status restored by the spring. Here's Venables.
We can probably address most of those concerns with a reevaluation of our water supplies and perhaps some incremental changes with our carrying capacity. And so the department is going through that process now with the intention of requesting a new inspection this spring. So I think that we're optimistic that we'll be able to get that rating captured back, which will be a benefit to the service area.
Venables and Stanford encouraged more people to get involved in the department as volunteers.
The more we can support our public safety personnel, both in town and in our fire districts, up the highway, the better these departments can function.
The next Public Safety Commission meeting is January 4th. In Haynes, I'm Jillian Rogers.
The Sheldon Museum received an early Christmas present last week worth an estimated $350,000. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has the story.
There's really nothing too exciting about shelves. Most people probably don't think much about them, except maybe when it comes time to dust them off. But a shipping container full of high-quality shelving had museum director Helen Alton bursting with joy last week.
This is really exciting. I first bid out compactor shelving for this room, and brand new shelving was priced at about $350,000.
Alton wrote a grant for the cost, but was turned down. The museum is overflowing with boxed collections that are crammed into inconvenient spaces, so an entire room dedicated to movable archival shelving is desperately needed. But without a donation or grant, the shelves were just too cost prohibitive. Enter George Campbell.
Because I told him we wanted to do this to expand our storage, and George Campbell told me about shelving that was available.
The compact shelving, as it's called, was being given away by the state at the state's historic library.
In my career in museums, which I've been in museums for over 30 years, I have never seen compactor shelving be surplused.
The state office couldn't find any takers for the giant shelves because of the high shipping cost, Alton says. Alaska Marine Lines donated the cost of shipping, and Dawson Construction donated some of the installation time. There's a grant pending currently that would pay for the rest of Dawson's time and materials.
So we may end up getting this completely free. What makes this such special, it's all metal, it's stainless steel, and it's powder coated, and it is completely inert. So it's, for preservation purposes, it's the highest preservation standard.
The shelves run on a track, so a subfloor, carpeting, and rails had to be installed in the museum basement before they were assembled. That all happened over the weekend.
So we figure it'll quadruple our storage capacities. It's huge, and it means one of the things that we've been saying for years to people is we can't take it in because we can't store it anymore. We don't have enough space.
We take a stroll up to the attic space so Alton can show just how crowded things have gotten.
Our archives are stored in this attic space. And this was space, found space, that was originally going to be a tall ceiling.
Dozens and dozens of boxes are stacked to the ceiling on bowing wooden shelves. Alton says it will all be moved to the new setup downstairs, along with boxes of archives currently living above staff offices. The empty upstairs area will become a children's programming center. By Monday afternoon, the floor and tracks were in and framing installed. Alton is hoping for some volunteers to stop by this week to help place the actual shelving.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy. This is just amazing. They're running smoothly. They're working really well.
The museum is expecting a large collection sometime in the new year from Alaska Indian Arts, though the details have yet to be worked out. The prospect of getting 200 boxes of archives was the catalyst for the new storage project. Alton says at least now they'll be ready. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
Sitka's Planning Commission considered an idea last week to allow short-term vacation rentals on anchored boats. KCAW's Emily Kwong has more.
Sitka's zoning code only allows for a bed and breakfast to operate in a single dwelling or two-family home. In his written proposal to change that zoning text, resident Tim Fulton wondered if that could change. He proposed that hosting travelers on boats is already a growing niche in the travel market, and as Sitka is short on bed space, this was a great time to get involved. Senior planner Mike Scarselli read a letter on his behalf while Fulton attended the Sitka school board meeting.
I have investors who are interested in part for the contribution it can make to the local economy. Two, I believe that this idea is forthcoming, and right now you have an opportunity to address it in a positive way.
Alaska has two Airbnb listings for moored boats, one on a sailboat in Valdez and another on a three-deck vessel in Homer. In his written proposal, Fulton mentioned how television shows like The Deadliest Catch are fueling fascination with Alaskan fishing. He wrote that spending a night on a boat could be a dream come true for travelers. At the meeting, harbor staff praised the idea for its creativity, but had three big concerns: traffic in the harbor, infrastructure damage, and sanitation concerns. Harbor Master Stan Eliason worried about the environmental impacts should tourists decide to dump sewage overboard. He speculated the department could require boats to pump out once a month, but that would be a lot of work to enforce.
I'm afraid that this could morph over into the other harbor users, such as liveaboards, and onto our regular harbor users, which would create a management nightmare for my department. I just don't have the manpower to do this.
The harbor qualifies as land in the public zone, which means a zone text change would allow Airbnb to operate on all public lands. Planning Commission member Daryl Windsor raised an eyebrow over this detail.
When you say public lands, does that mean this would open it up to someone parking an RV out at the shooting range and renting it out as an Airbnb?
The short answer is yes. And the potential for broad impacts seemed to signal the death knell for this idea. After 15 minutes of deliberation, the commission voted down the proposed change. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.